The third reading of Parshas Tetzave opens with a discussion of the Kohen Gadol's robes, known in Hebrew as the Me'il. Chapter 28, verse 31. V'yasisa es Me'il ha'efod. You will make the robe of the ephod. It's called the robe of the ephod because the ephod, the apron we talked about, is tied over the Me'il. You make this Me'il, you make this robe, klil tcheles, of purest tcheles. Tcheles is that turquoise, like greenish blue kind of wool. We don't really know how to find that dye anymore. It also showed up in our tzitzit, and it has various other uses throughout the Mishkan, in both the tapestries as well as the other clothing of the Mishkan mixed in. But this me'il is purest tcheles, all tcheles. Rashi says, es me'il ha'efeid, the robe of the apron. So Rashi says, Hameil, the ha'efeid, the me'il and the ephod are actually two separate garments. They're not the same garment. It's not me'il ha'efeid, does not mean this is the apron robe. But in fact, the reason that it's called me'il ha'efeid is because ha'efeid nasun olav, because that backwards apron of sorts is placed over it. L'chagura, it serves as its belt. So that's what girds the robe. There's the tunic, and it has an avnet. It has a special belt or a sash. And then there's the robe, and the robe has a sash over it. And the sash is the sash or the belt that comes from the apron that we learned about. What's the meaning of klil? Klil means 100%, pure, with nothing else mixed in. Kulay tcheles, it's entirely tcheles, as Rashi. Ein min acher ma'oirov boy. There is no other material that's mixed into it. It's only tcheles, klil tcheles, entirely tcheles. Okay. Now let's hear about the details. What does this look like? So the Chumash, the Torah, tells us about the opening for the head that was used in this robe. V'hoya pi roshay b'seichay. The opening for the head will be right in the middle of it. Safa yiyelafiv, it'll have a lip woven in around the opening. Saviv, ma'ase oirig, it'll all be woven. So it has this like double lip around the head, and it's going to be woven kifi sachar, like a coat of mail. Yiyelay should have for it. Why is it necessary to make sure that the opening of the robe is going to be of a double or more durable, thicker nature? And that's because lo yikorea, it shall not be torn. So whenever you have the opening, the head of a head in some kind of garment, there's always a possibility for it to be torn. And in fact, that's what naturally happens. So therefore, the Torah says you have to make sure that it's reinforced so that it cannot tear, because having it torn is actually an aveda. Rashi explains. Vahoya pidoshe. So Rashi explains that basically there are two holes in this me'il. One is to get your head through the top, and the bottom one is for your feet. So the me'il is like a tube, really, right? But it's got a hole for the head and a hole for the feet. So al pi me'il begavai, on the hole of the robe, on the top of it, which is where the head or neck protrudes, hu psichas beis hatzavar, that's the area where the neck comes out of. B'seichai, Rashi says, kitargumai. You should understand this as the Targum renders it, kofi ligavei, doubled into it, like kind of a lip. Kofi l'teichai, that inside it has like a double reinforced edge. L'hiyeis le'safa kfilase, that the edge is doubled. Maisi oireg, v'hoya maisi oireg, this was all woven. It wasn't something that was sewn on after. V'loi b'machat, not sewn. And kefi tachara, like a coat of mail, Rashi says that, what does this mean? Lomadnu, it teaches us, shehasir yoinim shalohem pihem kofu l'teicha. From this we can see that the coats of mail that people once wore, and it seems like in the time of Rashi the coat of mail was different, but the coat of mail in the time of the Chumash had a double lip. So that was thicker around the opening, and therefore the Torah says, it should be like a coat of mail, because that was the common garment that had a thicker reinforced opening. Okay. That's all very technical, very practical. And the whole idea is that it shouldn't be torn. The Chizkuni emphasizes that the mouth of the me'il, as it's proverbially called, is right in the middle. So it's like, think of like a poncho. You have this large cloth, and right in the middle, that's where you have the opening. And there are different opinions. The Rambam seems to believe that there's no sleeves. It was like a big poncho, or like a big pair of tzitzit. Rashi seems to indicate that there were sleeves. But at any rate, this was kind of like a pullover. Didn't have buttons in the front. You pulled it over your head, and that's why we have to be so careful to make sure that the lip is doubled over. The Rashbam says, this cannot be added at a later time. It has to be b'shas hariga. When you weave the cloth to begin with, you have to make sure to leave an opening, and therefore it won't be torn even afterwards. All right, so now we move from the head or the top of this garment, now we move to the hem, to the bottom. There's one Rashi we missed out here, le'yikoreya, it will not rip. Rashi says that it's not matter of fact, but rather an explanation. The reason that this is done in that fashion is k'dei she'le'yikoreya, so that it will not rip. V'ha'koyroi, and by the way, one who does rip this purposefully, intentfully, Bilav, he violates a negative commandment of the Torah. Shezeh, mi minyan halavim. This is one of the 365 negative commandments in the Torah that's enumerated, Shebateira. V'chein, similarly, we read earlier about the chosha not moving away from its place on the heart of the Kohen. La yizach ha-choshen, that the choshen should not move away. V'chein, li yosuru mimenu. Also, what it says earlier, that there are staves or poles that are placed in the golden box called the Ark, the Aron. So too, they're not removed. They stay right there. And if one does, then that would be a violation of the Torah. So Rashi chooses this location, this pasuk, to tell us that in this, as well as previous verses, in which the Torah says such and such will be the case, this is actually a commandment. That's one of the mitzvahs. And Rambam actually holds like that. It's in one of the mitzvahs, Sefer HaMitzvahs. Okay, moving now to the hem. Verse 33, V'yasisal shulav. You'll make at the hem of this robe rimoine tcheles vargamon v'telas shani. You'll make little pomegranates. And these pomegranates will be made, woven of tchelet and argamon and the telas shani. So various different wools that we've already discussed multiple times. And these will be al shulav, on the hem, saviv around. Upamoine zohav b'seicham, and there will be gold bells within them. Saviv, all the way around the hem. And the Torah goes on to speak in verse 34, details now what the hem was going to look like. Pa'amoin, zahav, rimoin, a bell of gold, a pomegranate. Pa'amoin, zahav, a golden bell, rimoin, and a pomegranate. Al shulav, on the hem. Hame'il, saviv, which is on the hem, round and round. So in other words, it rings the entirety of the hem of the robe. It will be on Aaron when he serves. The sound will be heard when he comes into the sacred precincts. Lefnei Hashem, before God, and when he leaves. And he will not lose his life as a result of coming in an inappropriate fashion. Okay, let's take a look now and see how Rashi interprets these couple of verses that we just read. Rimoine. It says the terminology that's used is pomegranates. Rashi says, what did these pomegranates look like? He says, agulim, round, v'chalulim hayu, and they were hollow. So they were round and hollow. And they looked, they appeared, they had the appearance, kimin rimoinim. They looked like a rimoin, ho asuyim kebeitzas hatanegolis, but not an ordinary rimoin. They had like an oval shape. They were not round. So really and truly, most of the pomegranates that I've seen are round in shape. They're kind of compact. They're stout. But this was a different looking kind of rimoin. This was an oblong kind of rimoin. And I guess it was a rimoin because its opening had like a little star right coming out in the opening. But it was oblong shaped. So it's called a pomegranate, but it actually looks like an egg. Rashi's pretty clear about that. Upamoine zov, and then there was golden bells. So Rashi says that the golden bell was comprised of two parts. There was zagin, im in beilin. There was kind of a skin, or a covering, a tube, some kind of outer layer, and then there was a clapper inside it, which is the description of a typical bell. Now, you probably all know that they did find a little gold bell in the sewage outside the Beis HaMikdash where the sewage would have run by, and we theorize that it's very possible this is one of the gold bells of the Kohen Gadol's robes. And you can actually Google it and you can hear it. They tinkled it. It's the first time that tinkling has been heard in 1950 years. And, you know, I can't know with certainty. Nobody can know. Maybe it was the gold bell on some little girl's doll. We don't know. But there's a good possibility that it comes from the Kohen Gadol's robe. It's exactly where it should have been, because the sewage from the Beis HaMikdash would have washed down along the Tyropian Way and would have landed down in what they call the Silwan, and that's where it was found, along with many, many other artifacts. At any rate, this is the business of the hem of the robe, pomegranate and gold bell, pomegranate and gold bell, and this is Besecham Saviv. Rashi says Besecham does not mean in the pomegranates, it means Beinehem, between them. Saviv, all around. Bein kol rimeinei, between all of the little woolish, the greenish wool and red pomegranates, there was pomein echad, and it was dovek v'toli b'shul hamil. There was a bell, and that bell was attached, was fastened to the hem of the robe. Rashi says pomein zohav v'rimein, pomein zohav v'rimein. The Torah is giving us the order of how it's placed. First, there is a pomein zohav. First, on the edge of the hem, there is a golden bell. Then there's a rimon etzli. Then there's a little pomegranate that's hung next to it. And then it continues in that fashion. So a gold bell on the edge, a pomegranate, a gold bell, a pomegranate. And that's the way it moves all the way along the hem.
So the bell is not actually attached to the pomegranate. It's like sitting in between.
According to Rashi, The bell was in between. Bell, pomegranate, bell, pomegranate. And that's how it was ringed. The whole bottom was ringed, no pun intended, with bells and pomegranates. V'la yamos, and he won't die. Rashi says, Miklala v'tashmehein. The Torah says he won't. So from here, you can understand what happened. Lo yischayev misa. He wouldn't become wanting, found wanting before Hashem in a most severe fashion, in which it would be a fatal consequence. Im yikaneis kishu mechuser echad ben ha-megadim alalu. If he enters the Holy of Holies, or even the Holy Precinct, missing one of the eight garments, so then Chayev Misa B'Dishamayim, then he's Chayev Misa B'Dishamayim. Now, of course, the problem with this is, the Torah says, V'la Yomos, Rashi is interpreting it as a broad statement with regard to all of the eight vestments. So why does it show up here specifically with regard to the bell? So this is a bit of a challenge to try to understand that. And the Ibn Ezra says that the business of Nishma Koiloi is that when Aaron will serve in these special clothes, his voice will be heard, or there'll be accompaniment of sound to his prayer, and the accompaniment to the prayer, the tinkling bells, will kind of accompany the prayer and enable his prayers to be heard. So in other words, according to the Ibn Ezra, Nishma Koiloi is not that the voice of Aaron's bells will be heard, it says Nishma Koiloi, his voice. Ibn Ezra says, whose voice? Aaron's voice. It's just that, just like when you have a person who sings, if you have singing and you have musical accompaniment, then the voice or the singing is much more beautiful. So too, Aaron's voice, when there's musical accompaniment or a tinkling bell that goes along with his prayers, then his voice will be heard on high. That's how the Ibn Ezra interprets it. Ramban says, why is it so important to have his voice heard? Ramban says, there was no door for the Kohen Gadol to knock on, but it was appropriate to announce your arrival. So he had bells as if it was like he's ringing the bell. And really it was for the Holy of Holies. Really it was for the holy, this special area. But nonetheless, the point is the Kohen Gadol would enter, wouldn't just enter, he'd first ring the bell. And if there's no bell attached, well, attach bells to yourself. So that was how Ramban explains his business of the bells that are ringing. The Chizkuni says that ultimately this refers to all of us. It says we, the Jewish people, would hear the sound of Aaron's approaching, and this would inspire all of us to pray with greater fervor and with more focus, with greater kavana. At any rate, that's the story of the bells, and that's the story of the pomegranates, as Rashi explains it. So now we're going to take a deep look at the bells and pomegranates and see that Ramban has a very, very different approach. You can open the Birurim book, the page Reish Nun Daled. And here,
is the pomegranates just for decoration?
They don't have the books, they're right there.
Huh? The decoration? Like the bell, you clear what the purpose is, right? To announce Aaron's coming or to accompany his thinking. So what's a pomegranate? Just a decorative?
So that's a very good question, right? That's a very good question. You're asking, so what's the purpose of having the pomegranate, right? Because the bell...
Why not have bells all along?
Right, the bell has some kind of function. So right. Clearly it seems that the pomegranate would be a decorative accessory, right? Okay, so this actually becomes an issue. Ramban makes an issue out of this. This is part of Ramban's question. He says, what is the purpose of those pomegranates? Ramban is going to maintain that the pomegranates actually held the bells inside them. So there was a wool bell and a pomegranate actually inserted into it, which could perhaps slightly muffle the sound or soften the sound or protect the bells, but it actually served the purpose. So let's take a look. Peizesh Nundalot, Simen Tezvav. We have the quote from Rashi here. And now Ramban asks a question on Rashi. And this is the Ramban's question. This is a quote. Lo yadaiti, I do not know. Lama asa harav hapamayinim la'atzmam. I do not know why the Rav, the master, meaning Rashi, described the bells as being hung or fastened separately onto themselves. A pamein, a bell, bein shnei rimeinim, between two pomegranates. I don't understand it. Ki im kein, for if so, says Ramban, lo yehoya rimeinim b'sham shem klum. You hear that, Nathan? Sound familiar?
Sorry. I was looking for what the page.
Page Reish Nun Daled.
Reish Nun Daled, okay.
I just read the Ramban's question, and it sounds strikingly like your question. Ramban asks, if the bells were placed between the pomegranates, says Ramban, if so, what purpose did the pomegranate serve? What's the purpose of having them there? So you'll say, who's decorative? Says Ramban, ve'im lenoi, and if for the purpose of decoration, he says, if it's decorative, lama haya isin kirimainim chalulum, then why bother making hollow pomegranates? Yasim kimin tapuchizov, then make gold apples. Ramban says that the hollow, the pomegranates housed the bells. That's where they were hollow. That's where they were pomegranates. But he says if they're not going to have pomegranates, meaning they don't have a use, they're just decorative. Well, if it's decorative, then go with the apples. Why have blue pomegranates? Go with gold apples. That's the question. And because of this reason, Ramban comes with the conclusion, Harimainim leshimshu lenoi bavad, that the pomegranates did not merely serve a decorative purpose, but rather, Elo hapamainim hayatmunim b'toich chalal harimainim, that the bells were actually held inside the pomegranate, the hollow pomegranate. Elo shalachayda, ostensibly, Shailas Ramban, the question, Lama hayo asuyim kerimainim chalulim, why were they made of like hollow pomegranates? Instead, make them gold apples. Eini muvenis. That's not understood. V'chi b'ma adif atzurus ha-tapuchim atzurus ha-remainim. Why is that any better? The Torah says remainim. So Ramban says, if it was just decorative, it should be apples then. Maybe it should be plums. Blackberries. I mean, like, what? What kind of question is that? The Torah says pomegranates. He says, buy pomegranates. If it's decorative, it should have been apples. What kind of question is that? So, and the Mefarshim asked the question. In fact, the Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi, the Re'eim, he says, "Lo yadaiti lama bachar hatapuchim yesem ha'remayim." He says, "I don't know what's bugging Ramban here." He says, "I don't know why he's choosing apples over pomegranates. It's not like you're eating this stuff. What difference does it make? What difference does it make?"
Well, gold certainly makes more sense. Like that's
so gold pomegranates.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But Ramban doesn't say gold pomegranates. He says gold apples. This is a big question.
Apples take up too much space. I think he's off base there.
So make a smaller apple. What's the Nimuk Shmuel explains that the Ramban's question was, why were the Rimayim Chalulim, why were the pomegranates hollow if the hollow nature didn't serve a purpose? Pomegranates by nature are hollow. That's what they are, they're packed with seeds. But the thing is, it's a cavity. However, you could make a hollow apple too. Like, really, it doesn't make a difference. A hollow apple, a hollow pomegranate, what's the difference? So the Rebbe says, via Shleimar, on a simple level, there's an easy answer to this. Shaila Saramban Mevuseses al Kach Shatsurus HaTapuchim Efiya Kvar B'Mishkan. The question of the Ramban is predicated on the notion that within Mishkan terminology and within Mishkan design, we already have one other example of something which is decorative rather than functional. And what did Rashi himself call it? Rashi himself referred to it as an apple. And that was on the menorah. There were these spheres. Some people call them knobs. But they really weren't knobs. They didn't serve any purpose. They were decorative. And the decorative spheres on the menorah, Rashi says, were kamin tapuchim. Rashi says they were like apples. So Ramban's question is, if you're going decorative, stick with the style. For some reason, decorative things, decorative circles, are apples. Okay? So if it's decorative, it's got to be apples. And therefore, Ramban is saying, clearly this is not decorative. Had it been decorative, we would have gone with the old, pre-established system already. The design that we have from before is that they're going to be apples. But there, Ramban is trying to prove that this is not decorative. And that's why it served a purpose, namely that it would house the bell. And this then is the question of the Ramban. If the purpose of the Rimayim was merely lenoi, for beauty, it was just a decorative accessory, so then why choose a new shape if you already have a shape? You're going with a blackberry, a blackberry. You're going with an apple, you go with an apple. You choose your shape and you go with it. Don't keep switching around. Whatever your style is, just go with it and that's it. The menorah already established that we go with apple. Okay, if we're apple people, then we go with apple. So really then, we have to understand this. Why that itself has to be understood. So why are apples decorative and why are pomegranates functional? Like, what's the difference between apples and pomegranates? So the Rebbe sets out here now to explain in the Shita of Rashi, because Rashi does say they're both decorative. Ramban's question is a good question now. He says, if decorative, follow the old system. We already have a pre-established way that decorative circles are called apples. Okay, fine. Rashi knows that. And yet, Rashi said apples when he talked about the menorah. And here, he says these are decorative and they're pomegranates. What's Rashi thinking? So the Rebbe says something absolutely unbelievable. This is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. It's just pure genius. Matzinu shebnei Yisrael nimshalu hein letapuach vehein lenimin. The Jewish people as a nation are metaphorized as two circular shapes. We're told apples, and we're called pomegranates. We're not called peaches or plums. We have lots of nuts, but the almond is not one of us. The fruit that we are described as is apples and pomegranates. And both of these are found in the Song of Songs, which seems like a lurid romantic poem, but really, Rabbi Akiva said it's called Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's the holiest of all the scripture. And it describes the Jewish people. So in the second chapter of the Shir HaShirim, of the Song of Songs, in the third verse, it says, it metaphorizes and compares the Jewish people to a beautiful apple tree in the forest surrounded by ordinary trees. So we give fruit and the rest of the trees don't give fruit. Now, if you look in the Mefarshim there, it says that the other trees have more shade. They're leafier and shadier. But the beloved sees his the object of his love and says, forget the leafy shade. Here I see fruit. And this represents the Jewish people producing mitzvahs, which mitzvahs are metaphorized as fruit. It says, Kitapuach ba'atze hayor, like an apple tree amongst the trees of the forest. But we're also compared to the Rimayim. In the fourth chapter, again in the third verse, here the description is of the face. And there's a question whether this refers to the temples or the cheekbones, but it's all really a metaphor. A hollow part of the head. And it says, your cheekbones or your temples are like the split part of the pomegranate. Which is obviously a metaphor. Because we don't have ruddy cheeks or high cheekbones. Or, that's not the point. The point, though, is that we're metaphorized. The beauty of the Jewish people is metaphorized in the image of the pomegranate. So the Rebbe says, which one are we? Are we apples? Or are we pomegranates? Which fruit captures our essence best? And he says, really, it depends how we're behaving. A tapuach represents us bedarga ruchnius nihilis, when we are on the top of our game, when we are fully developed in our spiritual potential. And then we're called like an apple. Because if you look at the verse there, it says, this tree is different than all other trees. Why? Because it gives fruit and the others don't. So the others don't provide, and we do provide. That speaks of a Jew who's providing, who's doing his job. But then the rimon is when we're at a lower level. And this fits in beautiful corollary with the statement made by our sages, which is found on Meseches Brachos on page 57, that our sages say, afilu reikonim shebecha, that even the empty ones amongst you, because the pomegranate is hollow, maleim mitzvahs kerimin, they're packed full of mitzvahs, like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. Umikan, the Rebbe says, from here we can see ahevdol ben ha-kafteirim shebe-meneira l'rimonim shebe-meil. From here we can see the difference between the apples, or the spheres on the menorah, and the pomegranates on the bottom of the hem. Ha-meneira re-mebezes ha-bnei Yisrael k'shahim zoharim u-me'irim. The menorah is metaphoric of the Jewish people when they're on fire, when we're radiant, when we're all aglow. B'dargosam ha-ruchnias, in our spiritual level. As we find that the seven branches of the menorah also represent different levels in Avodas Hashem, and everything's aflame. Everything is brilliant. Everything's lit up. It's great. V'lachein, kafteiri ha-noisha b'menorah. Therefore, the spheres, the decorative spheres in the menorah, what image would they be in? Apples. That's only natural. Here we are. Beautiful, shiny, gold, and a glow. Okay. Hashulayim, the hem on the other hand, is where? Not on the top. That's kefisachara. We talked about the top of the meal already. There was no accoutrements there. It was just double. It was reinforced. What'd you find on the bottom? What was there on the hem? The hem represents the very bottom. And this represents the idea of Bnei Yisrael shadargosam aruchnis nechusa, that their spiritual level is actually quite low. And they're kind of just barely hanging on for dear life. They're hanging on to the hems of the Kohen Gadol. That's how they get dragged into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They're just hanging on. And this represents the Jewish people who are not on top of the game. V'lachein ho'iturim, therefore, the decorative nature of these accessories on the hem, they come in the image of a rimon. Because the rimon represents a yid who's not on top of his game. So therefore, Ramban asked the question, if decorative, it should be an apple. Rashi would say to him, no, my dear Rabbeinu Moshe. When we're a menorah, then the decoration is apple. When we're a nehem, then the decoration is pomegranate. And this helps us understand, because afilu, the rekonim, even the empty ones, maleim mitzvahs kerimoin. Now, of course, you can come back and say, what was Ramban thinking then? The Rebbe made so much sense out of Rashi. What was Ramban thinking? So the Rebbe says, we know that Rashi is pshutah shel mikra, a straightforward interpretation. Ramban, his interpretation incorporates secrets of Kabbalah. So therefore, from a mystical perspective, even a yid who's at a low ebb, if you go drill down to his essence, he's still an apple. On the surface, he's a pomegranate. But deep down, from Ramban's x-ray vision, he still could be an apple. Therefore, Ramban says, if decorative, we're going to stick with the apple motif. Rashi says, sorry. And Pshuta Shal Mikra, on the surface, a yid who is aglow, he's a menorah, he's an apple. Otherwise, he's in the image of a pomegranate.
So do we factually believe that it was decorated with pomegranates?
That's the Mashiach will come. We'll find out exactly what it looked. There were definitely pomegranates. There were definitely bells. Both were there. Exactly how it was, we don't know. All ideas in Torah are true. And the lessons for us are abundant and obvious.